start whenever. Correct me if I do anything wrong. Almost getting to order the July 14th meeting of City Council. Roll call. All councilors are present. Denise Brom is absent. And I'm sitting in order. And according to Steve, I still vote.
That's right.
Okay. Game rules there. Now we can continue. So approval of minutes of June 9th and June 30th. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, we'll call them approved by unanimous consent. With public input, anybody online or?
No.
No comments received?
No.
And nobody here. Went on to mayor's report and then right on to city attorney.
Okay. We have a few things this evening.
Six, four, five. No hurry, we got a short term.
Thank you, Ryan. Very, very pleased to hear that. Okay, so we're going to start, I think, with some of the additional Melrose Avenue Complete Streets Project items. I'll save the intro about what we're doing. Same thing you've done. June regular meeting and at the special meeting at the end of June. So resolution 24-2645 approves utility easement agreement and acquisition with the appraised cost at 411-35 and all those out. So anyone wants to make that happen.
So
a second. Moved by Lisa, seconded by Greg. Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Dwyer?
Aye.
Herbal?
Aye.
Moore?
Aye.
Schroeder?
Aye.
Swales?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, and then resolution 2646, acquisitions at 1120 Melrose Avenue.
Motion on that one. I'll use it again. I'll write it out. Seconding. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Herbal?
Aye.
Moore?
Aye.
Schroeder?
Aye.
Swales?
Aye.
Dwyer?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
And 2647 concerns a permanent utility easement agreement at 1141 Mountain Avenue.
Kenzie, motion. Is there a second? Second by Nick. No discussion. Roll call vote.
Moore?
Aye.
Schroeder?
Aye.
Swales?
Aye.
Dwyer?
Aye.
Herbal?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay. Then moving on to a different topic. We try to explain this in my legal report, but for years, the Iowa law has required that governmental bodies, including the city council and board adjustments, zoning commission, any governmental body of the state, in the state, post a tentative agenda of its expected activities at a meeting at least 24 hours in advance. And this year, the legislature made a couple of changes to that open meetings notice requirement by requiring cities, counties to designate on an annual basis where that prominent and conspicuous location is going to be. And so the resolution that's going to be before you, 2648, says we're going to put it up next to the door on the north side. Now, as I said in my report, just the lawyer and maybe I think we'll always keep putting it up on the south side too, but just in case somehow the wheels come off the cart and we forget that, we just designated one spot. Okay. We can put it up as many places as we want, but we're going to put it up there for sure. The other change in the law doesn't change our practice one bit, but it is changing the law. The law almost always lags behind technology and advancement in life. I mean, it can never keep up. And then sometimes, and this would be an easy example, it sort of somebody doesn't try very hard, because this is an easy one. But for years, and even now, there are a lot of things that are required to be posted or published in the press citizen, the people will have a newspaper. Who reads those things? I mean, besides me, because I do every day. That's the way to get somebody noticed for real. When you have that little internet out there, because it doesn't count if you put it there. And not only does it count, but there's nothing that says you ought to do it. Well, there's anybody does at least to take care of that for years. The law has caught up with that part, at least to say, in addition to designating a spot and putting things posting things on that spot, at that spot, you also need to post your tentative meeting notice on a website if you have. So, doesn't change our practices one bit. I'll make a note on the regular in January every year to designate this spot because you have to do it every year. So this is round one, and 2648 designates the spot next to the door as the prominent and conspicuous location for posting. So moved.
Motion by
Hint,
second by McKenzie. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Schroeder?
Aye.
Swales?
Aye.
Dwyer? Herbold?
Aye.
Moore?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. We've been posting the web notices since January of 2010.
Where are you going?
That wasn't me.
What?
That wasn't me.
That was when I started as the government person.
Okay, we're ready for the city administrator report.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to briefly touch on a couple items in my report. But Ryan will cover some of these later. In review of the project being done on the Noah's Complete Streets project, it was discovered or noted that the north side neighborhoods only have water main service from one point in their neighborhood. There is no redundant service. It comes in roughly through the intersection of Vaultview and Bellrose. Ryan and I have talked about that. I think that it is a safety concern if there was a fire. Also, if there's construction, like there will be construction, and that main is taken out of service for some period of time, there would be no water service to that portion of town. Every other area in town has redundant water service so that it can be fed from at least two different mains. Iowa City Water installs and maintains our water system. They are willing to share costs with us. Ryan will explain this when we get to it. This University Heights cost would be limited to restoration of the ground, of any concrete removed, of any cleaning yards to sort of making things right. Iowa City Water would pay for everything else. This is a cost that we didn't have built into the project. However, we have contingency funds for capital improvements. Ryan and I talked about this, and we believe the predicted costs for this event will fall within those contingency funds. And even though Ryan will talk about it more, I wanted to make sure that council is aware that city staff strongly recommends that we move forward with installation of that second water main. I'm not asking for anything right now. Ryan will talk about it, but it's both a quality of life, but even more importantly, a safety issue for those neighborhoods. The mains that service that are very, very old water feeds. So it's a very real potential that there will be both issues. So again, I just want to briefly comment on that. Under compliance and nuisance issues, 101 Highland Drive, this is Jordan's property. All of the unresolved issues that remained on the notice that we were served last year have now been resolved. The privacy fence has come down, and with the financial assistance of Leighton Hargrave, who purchased the materials for Joe. Joe provided the labor and installed a barrier fence that completely surrounds his unfinished foundation. So currently those compliance issues are resolved. The only item that will require council action from my report is approval of city staff pay increases. This is an item that council considered under resolution 2626 last month and approved pay increases. I did not adequately proofread that resolution, and I failed to notice that three employees, the city clerk, the city treasurer, and city inspector Brian Jensen, were not listed in that resolution. Additionally, both Chris Akers and I were listed as chief of police. I spoke with Steve Ballard about how best to handle this, whether it could be handled through a motion or whether it's more appropriate to handle through another resolution, and Steve said it would be preferable to handle it through a resolution. So I am offering for council consideration resolution 2657, which will supersede resolution 2626, and that is the resolution confirming city staff compensation. If you look at the resolution as it's included in this packet, and Mike has it up on the board, it lists all of the full-time and part-time employees, their rate type, their fiscal year 26 rate, and their new fiscal year 27 rate. And again, pay increases were discussed and approved by council as part of consideration and approval of the fiscal year 27 budget. This is primarily a housekeeping item so that we can approve specifically pay increases as required as part of our annual audit.
So moved.
We'll do it out of order, if that's okay. Yes. McKenzie seconded. Okay, roll call vote.
This is Hannigan.
Dwyer.
Aye.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Unless anybody else has questions about my report, sir, that's all I'm talking. All right, city clerk report.
Not much to add other than what I submitted. Tomorrow is July 15th, and that's usually the day that I put out notice for our rental permit renewals. And rental permit renewals, usually we say renewed during the month of August. So that'll go out tomorrow to let people know, and they'll start in on that. We are at the last of liquor license renewal season. These are the last two that we need for this year. And it's, I had them listed as Marriott Bistro and Heights Rooftop. Marriott Bistro has made a name change. So it is 901 Social. The old license is under Marriott Bistro, so it doesn't matter what we call it for that, but they do function independently, so we do need two motions, one for each, because they each have a separate license. So.
So the motion, is there a second? Doug, we'll second it.
And this is for the Bistro.
And it's the whole vote.
It's a roll call, and not a roll call, it's just a voice vote.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
All right, period. And then this was...
Is there a motion for the liquor license for the Heights Rooftop? Sure. Johnson did it again. Second.
Yep, second.
Okay, got it.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
For sure. Thank you.
We're on to that, right?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Oh, I have nothing to add to what I spoke here.
And then there were two additions to the payments, right? Were those in later? The for
Bolton May.
Bolton May.
They're on that list of warrants.
Okay.
That is part of Lyon's presentation along with a couple other invoices for Bolton's for Big Streets project.
The Bolton May's not. I don't have any information on that.
Bolton Mink is the Pusher Trail project.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been coordinated in their contracts.
So we're.
It's on.
But it's on the list.
It's on the list.
We're, yeah.
And there are pay applications probably included on the list for the Melrose paper repair and utility improvements project and then the concept on that driveway project. So. Those items are included in our report. This be the main like payment. So we're getting those. So
Bolton Make is the trails project, was the final design and that's been completed. We have a meeting this week, Ryan and I do, with the design team about bidding process, how we have to handle that, whether the city has to do it or whether you have to open Bolton Make. But what Bolton is just joining us for is work that we're completed. Yep.
Do we have documents for that and exhibits for that in
the I do not. The meetings is this one. I have, because of my extended time away, I've not had them since I think it was the 10th in Boston.
So is everybody in favor of how do we do the paying of the bills?
If there's no
objections
to paying the warrants,
they're approved by unanimous.
Yeah, there, so we're in now there. Approved by unanimous consent. There you go. Okay. Where are we? Committee report on finance. Statement. And then we're on to police chief for sneakers.
You're not used to going this early.
No, absolutely not. The only things that I want to discuss at all or bring to your attention during the fiscal year, last fiscal year, Officer Yasin did 485 vehicle inspections, which the city benefits $40 out of each vehicle inspection. So he's keeping himself busy, making sure that we've got safe vehicles out on the road. So what's that?
Lower 19,000 officers.
He would be able to do that now. Savannah Bananas came through with relatively few problems. A lot of people trying to get them out of town was probably the biggest issue that we had, just simply because 70,000 people wanted to leave all at the same time. It took us about an hour and a half, or close to 2 hours to get everybody out of town. But to my knowledge, no accidents and no significant incidents occurred. So, on that, does anyone have any questions?
Yes. Yeah. About the whole parking thing on our cul-de-sac circle. Everybody was reading the signs that says no parking for Iowa Home football.
Yes, sir.
And you know as well as I do how that turned out because there was no football going on.
Yeah.
We need to either come up with some kind of verbiage either on the signs or put some temporary signs up for these one-off events. You know, if at least says no parking for any.
Special events, or something to that effect. Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree.
Chances are we're going to do it once a year, once every 3 years. You know, but it's not worth buying all the signs and change the verbiage. But
and
I would like to see some signs because I had to deal with a lot of Irish people that, you know, one day we told them you can't park there, and the next day they were parking there. And it's like, well, we had a game that day and a game that day. What's the difference? So.
That was probably my fault, Doug. Back when I discussed this with the mayor and put together the resolution, in the past, we've had these events. For example, the concert event, we did not prohibit street parking street parking was not prohibited as part of the resolution, or the Savannah Bananas street parking was allowed. What specifically was allowed by the resolution was a suspension of certain other ordinances. So street parking or parking the grass was allowed, porta potties were allowed. The proclamation basically suspended certain ordinances for the event, but it did not prohibit any further action. So to prohibit it would have taken further council action, and it would have taken posting of signs throughout the city. We did not, and it was a conscious decision back when I conferred with the mayor and put this resolution together to not prohibit street parking.
Well, the only thing that I have to bring awareness to is the whole reason we can't park in the cul-de-sac street, we just can't get a fire truck down there. So regardless of the game day or whatever, it doesn't matter, you can't get a fire truck down.
Correct.
So when you park in there and stuff, that's all secondary throughout the city. But on that particular street, you got to be able to get through, whether it's banana game or football game or dance off or whatever. The whole purpose of not parking there because people take their teams with them. Now, we have graduation parties. Folks are there in the house. They got the PZ, fire trucks out there, moving vehicles, whatever. That makes sense. But when people take the keys and they're gone, what are you going to do if your house is on fire?
Yeah, if it's a safety, I understand what you're saying. But if it's a safety issue, it's a safety issue.
Right.
Regardless. I mean, they might be there for a family reunion, but they might have decided to walk down to Willow Creek Park. I mean, if it's a safety issue, we should prohibit parking there all the time.
That was my question. On Friday, it was, you can't park there, but Saturday you could. It's like, what's the difference? You can't get a fire truck through.
Yep, right, that was,
what day it is.
That was on me. My interpretation was.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up tonight. Just so we have a clear policy that we need to be more proactive. We need to put up some temporary signs in places where fire truck or safety is an issue. We need to have a plan, whether it's sawhorses with signs or sticks in the yard to staple on signs. But something.
Right, fair enough.
Yeah, so, just something. Because people say, oh, you should have went online. Like, who's going to go online and look to see where in the hell you're going to park and come to an event? You know, like, nobody does that. Nobody.
It was not prohibited. Even if it had gone online, it was not prohibited. They couldn't park.
But if it's a safety issue all the time, then it should be no parking. And if you need parking for a party,
correct.
You talk to the police chief about it.
Correct, which is a different issue. But if it's a safety issue parking there, then that should be addressed separate from Savannah Bananas. And that, based on what you said, it sounds like it's a safety issue.
Yeah. Maybe this whole thing, you get the fire department.
Right. Sure.
And don't have anything against the fence or anything. It's just, my house on fire. I want a fire truck there.
I makes perfect sense. Maybe
they're
fine. Don't have all the
second.
Well, the same. Right. It would take an ordinance change. But yes, I can work to make that happen.
Yeah. But see, there are rare occurrences that we have these one-off things, like the banana. You may not ever know it's 5 years. Who knows? But we need to have these sawhorses or sticks or something that says so. It's heads up, whatever. But
are you interested in changing it to no parking all the time, though?
No.
Okay.
And then you see how many cars they got in my garage?
Well, I'm saying it's either a safety issue or it's not.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I have keys available that, you know,
you
if there was something, I can get them out of the way
real
quick. So,
but not everybody.
Anybody that parks there, see that.
That's true.
Right. We can discuss this further outside of
Jersey. Okay.
Any other questions?
Okay, we're on to Brian, city engineer.
Thanks, Dan. I've got quite a few things that I'll try to go over, hopefully fairly briefly. I apologize, my report came out a little late last night. So if anybody didn't have a chance to read through the entire thing, description of stuff, or tried to lay things out pretty well, describe things pretty well, but Melrose Avenue Complete Streets design scope. So the first item I wanted to discuss and bring up, at least have discussion on, and then there is a resolution proposed if council wants to take action on it, is an amendment to the design agreement for the Melrose Complete Streets project. So the original design fee that was brought forth in December 2023 and approved in January 2024 was based off the 2017 concept that was used for the SDVG funding with some updated pricing, unit pricing to kind of get a new estimated construction costs. That's how a main basis factor is utilized to try to come up with a design fee typically. That was one metric that we use a lot. And that scope generally of the construction is expanded considerably since that point. So we are relocating the intersection. We are reconstructing the entire width of the street instead of just widening the panels on the north and south side, which is what the original concept showed. A couple of reasons for that. I want a uniform base under the street. I want it to last a lot longer than just patching on the edges. I wanted to make the expense sort of worth it, right? While we're doing it, trying to do it wholeheartedly to rebuild that section. And then also rebuilding the whole width of the street gives us some more flexibility in how we phase things and installing new storm sewer. Limits expanded and water main work was needed to relocate the intersection. And then also the city guard was not originally planned to be touched, right, with the division agreement. And now it's being relocated completely and reconstructed. So those are sort of the big picture items of the scope. I've listed in my report that, you know, the original fee was roughly 10.4%, you know, the 10 to 12% range is pretty typical for our design fee. Drive Battery design fee. The additional design fee is an additional $137,000, which brings the design total to $312,000, which is 12.5% of the new estimated construction cost of $2.5 million, as opposed to the $1.685 million where we started off in 2017. Some of the increase in that percentage comes from regrading the garden a couple times, relaying that out, redoing Paul Moore's Stella's parking lot a few times. I mean, three different times we changed that in discussions on the layout and the grading and storm sewer expansion into the parking area as well. And then added scope, which was excluded from the original agreement, like water main work, which wasn't originally anticipated until we relocated the intersection, things of that nature. So we needed some additional right-of-way plats, which was part of what the design fee was intended to pay for. So at least the plats there for those. So I guess if there's any questions on that, certainly I wanted to at least have a discussion this meeting. And I've got a resolution here if council otherwise we can discuss this meeting and table for next, however you prefer to proceed. Otherwise, if there's no discussion, the resolution is resolution number 2649, approving and authorizing the mayor to sign an amendment to the professional services agreement with Shy Battery Architecture and Engineering for the Melrose Avenue Complete Street.
How does that fit into the overall budget?
Everything's costing more, I guess I'd say. So everything is a plus on more. Mid-Americans costs are close to double for what it's going to cost the city to put the overhead lines underground from George to the bridge. Obviously, from where we started, the cost for the right-of-way is considerably higher. So once we got those appraisals, we've already had that discussion, right? That was nearly four times what we were originally thinking. So I would say the overall budget is not in great shape from the original standpoint. I have been updating the CIP budget. You know, we redo the budget every year to try to predict the next year's worth. So when you know, John and Steve are looking at like the FY 26-27 budget, I am trying to update it once we are understanding those different costs, right? So the budget that we approved for this year includes $400,000 instead of like $150,000 for the right-of-way cost, right? So, and those costs were known when we did the bonding last summer. So I did meet with Troy and Louise Marfron and Steve Poole in August last year, and we discussed some of these things also with the design fee being needing to be amended. So some of that, some of these costs were captured in that bond. So not all of the costs for the design amendment were, but a portion of that cost was captured in the bond that we did with Spirit Financial. So, and all of the costs, well, I think we had 400,000 budgeted for the right way. I think we will end up at like 415. So 400,000 was bonded for, and our cost would need being like 4,000. So I think we were pretty good on the bonding as far as that budget might say.
Is there anything obvious that we could cut down on to reduce price back into budget? I mean, obviously you don't want to cut corners when it comes to things that are like making the road, you know, gonna last, and like power bearing power lines, you're gonna do this, I think this time dual.
Yeah.
Is there anything obvious from your perspective? It's like, hey guys, you could set this up to pay for it later if you wanted to. You know, but not need to pay for it now since you're going over budget. When we discussed this, when staff discussed it, I mean, the delay and it happened. So not just material costs, but the labor cost, hourly costs of engineers, of everybody has increased. I definitely get it's more expensive. I just didn't know if there's anything obvious to like say, you guys could do this later if you wanted to keep it in the in budget and then add it on there. I assume not. I just thought I'd ask the question.
Yeah, I think so. I think when we've had our very first sort of design meeting with the options on the intersection, Marathon asked me that same question. And I think ultimately I said, this project, you know, we're not doing brick, we're doing colored concrete, right? There's really like no frills about it, by my hand. It's really just, it's new storm sewer, it's new street, it's new street lights, and it's new signals, right? So there's nothing about it that feels overly like, overly, aesthetic just to be aesthetic, right?
And it seemed like some of that we had to do from our government money mission, from our right, like the lighting of certain areas, like right. That is required.
Yeah. So the funding kind of requires, or the applications for the funding stated we would add street lighting and we would do certain things, right? So there are certain things that we do need to kind of keep within scope in order to sort of honor what we agreed to do with the funding agreements for those funding. So yeah, I mean, just a reminder that there is like $1.4 million of funding for this project as well. So out of the $2.5 million, that's pretty well funded project in my experience. So
take it out now, postpone doing it, it's gonna cost more.
Right.
Yeah. If you go reinforce that into that road, I mean there's a lot of traffic goes up and down the road today. A lot
heavy,
of
can you have
this truck and you know you can get by now, but then 5 years from now, that starts breaking off, and now we've got to fix it.
Yeah.
Either way, you're spending money.
Yeah.
And then it looks like hell. You got manholes sinking and turning sideways. It's just best to spend it up front, and then over the long term, it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah, I guess that is one thing, right? Like the scope of what's removed and replaced in paving, right, is potentially something you could cut one, right? So. When the design team brought forth sort of a preliminary plan, I looked at it. There's existing patches. There's a lot of offset joining already down there. You know, there's been multiple repairs done over a lot of years. There's not a great way to make it or sort of set up for long-term, you know, future maintenance if you just kind of patch on just the outside edges of that. So sort of that extension or that, that's probably one thing, just the sheer quantity of the pavement. Some of it could be salvaged, right? But the opportunity to redo it again is going to be like never. Because at that point, you're talking middle of the street. That would, right. You know, so then it's going to be pretty difficult.
Do you have any, so in terms of the making the contract more broad, with Shai, is there anything that you want to look at in regard to that, or is there anything should we let that sit for a meeting for the public, do you think, or any insight on that?
Not a lot of insight. I don't think there's too much that I need to look at. If the council wants to give it a minute to you know, have people have an opportunity to make their sermon on their own as long as, you know, as long as you don't see time pressure, which is what I understand in the comments are okay that way. So I guess that's what I would say. Sort of look at their history and have people been, has anybody been interested in commenting? I don't think so. But at the same time, that doesn't mean you shouldn't allow for that. It's not much for the answer, Nick. I'm sorry. I don't have a lot of guidance in that way. It's really a council's discretion.
I mean, obviously, I recognize the project has been expanded, and I'm obviously inclined to support that. I just didn't know if it should sit a meeting or not.
Well, even if we let sit, you know, on a, what does that mean? Change after listening to what and what he would do.
Yeah, it's yeah.
So I do over just limit that.
Yeah. I think we've stirred this pot long enough and costs just go up every day. You know, if we don't do it soon, it's just keep going. So I don't know what we could change. Like I said, we got cut to the bone now. Any more input? I don't know what input we could hope for to make any changes. I think we looked at it, scrutinized it pretty hard already. I recommend that we do forward with it.
I guess just also be clear like that 137 includes some money that's already been spent. There's like $85,000 that have to build from design costs that have already been incurred. So I guess that's, I've asked them to not. So we could just bring one amendment to the council. And the biggest delay was just making sure that we got over some of these hurdles. Like the aesthetic coordination thing was not part of the agreement version. So everything has been done with the aesthetic coordination. You know, a lot of meetings on that has been also additional. So I wanted to make sure that we were kind of getting to the end point of those items before. So we didn't have to bring amendments to council. Yes.
So not proceeding, we're asking you to thank roles.
Yeah, I mean, they already have been, but yeah, that's why they... Yeah, they certainly want to try to get this approved, but I understand if council wants to wait a month, and I've told them that that might be an out, right? So they're aware of that's possible.
I move for passage of resolution 2649.
I second.
Motion by Nick, second by Lisa. Is roll call vote.
Wait.
There's no more discussion.
Aye.
With Swales. Dwyer.
Aye.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
So the Paul Moore, I just all know real quick, I did provide Paul Moore the hard copy set for the electrical service work at his building. That should be almost a final plan, pending any comments that Paul has remaining. As soon as I hear back from Paul, I haven't heard from him this last week, so as soon as we hear back from him, we'll intend to issue that for bids, and there will be some more information forthcoming on that project. Right away stuff. Okay, the aesthetic exhibit. So I did include an aesthetic exhibit, and what Mayor Brom had asked me to do is essentially go speak with our electrical engineers and landscape architects, try to pull together some recommendations and provide a recommendation for council on multiple of these aesthetic type of items that are involved with the Melrose Avenue Big Streets project. So the community garden retaining wall block might be sort of the one item that you would, I guess, to Nick's point, potentially have an option of saving money here. So the retaining wall garden block, I got some confirmation of some numbers today. One of the fancier block options, like in the top left there, is about 1.6 times the price of the street split block that's to the right. I'd have to run some numbers to know what that total number difference is, right, based off the square footage of that wall. But
don't do the pink one, right?
Yeah, we don't have to pick that color, but the colors aren't necessarily what
it looks a lot more tan depending on your monitor. Yeah,
these are. These are stock images from the site, right? Yep. So there's a few color options, and those color options vary depending on your region, right, throughout the country. So they're only certain colors are available, certain suppliers and certain blocks might not be available within our within the Midwest.
Really.
So these are walls that are brands that are approved by the IODOT for MSE walls, I guess. So I mean, that is one item that if council is wanting to try to get a more fancy block to sort of match what we're trying to do with the retaining wall block, the larger retaining wall blocks, like a more of a variable size load for the blocks, right? So they look more like a bashful brick wall almost, right? I guess we could spend more money there on that type of block. So, yeah.
I'm just saying that the retaining wall that goes on the properties and the retaining wall around the garden would be
they will physically be different blocks, right? Yeah, they'll be different blocks. Retaining walls along the property lines, along the sidewalk lines, are going to be larger blocks that are like 4 feet by 18 inches tall. And the two options that we're showing here are the two options we were list in the construction documents. They're the only two options that these two brands, which are the only two approved products brands through the DOT, offer that have sort of a mold that splits up the face into a smaller block. And we're recommending those because the height of the walls are fairly short. They're with a lot of it, it's only 2 feet, like in front of 1,007 or 1,005. Melrose, the tallest is probably around 6 feet by 10 Cozier, where the parking stalls are today. And so instead of having a block that's like a 4 foot by 18 inch size block, we're only two blocks tall or something, or a block and a half, we're going to use this mold, but one of these two molds that has the appearance of more of it. And then yes,
larger than look different than any product put it on the garden.
That's right. Yeah. So the garden wall needs to be a smaller block so we can make the tighter radiuses around the garden. We can't turn the walls tightly if they're really large, long walls.
But it could be similar, but depending on what.
Yeah.
Not look glaringly differently.
Right.
The pink wall and the rusted stone wall.
It doesn't need to be pink. There are other options that are available of more of like a garden wall block, which would be like a beveled on both edges. We're not reviewing that with Blake. Blake and I agree that even though they're a bigger, more robust block, but through these brands than like what you'd get maybe at Menards, they would potentially look like that kind of block, right? That would be sort of bought off the shelf from an improvement store. So the straight split was what we thought would look more professional for the garden to start off with. And then I looked at all these other approved brands through the DOT. And these two, the Keystone and the Rockwood, these two options, the Keystone Victorian and the Rockwood Colonial, were the two that I bought, would kind of not match, but view very similar style to those two options, the cobblestone and the rustic stone from Recon and Ready Pot. So yes, it's sort of like, do you want to spend more money on something that looks a little bit fancier and closer to what those larger block walls would be potentially, or just go with the standard straight split, or we could go to a bevel block if you'd rather see those, but I'm not showing any of those as an option. So that is one option that I could give council. It's like, you could make this decision of, should we spend the money on that top left picture of the Rockwood Colonial walls?
What, can you ballpark, like, what were you even talking about in the cost difference? I know you said per unit, but like, I didn't know if we were talking about $10,000 or $100,000.
I'm sorry. I didn't have time to prepare that. I'm sorry. I guess
my only feedback is, I've seen some staining concrete like fade over time. And so I guess that's what I would just want to think about. We could do something that potentially would last longer and look the same longer as opposed to like, you know,
we have to see our driveway every 2 weeks because we stand brick on it. It's not real brick. And so, like, does that with stain, don't you have to seal it every period?
I don't know if for public improvement projects, we usually do that. I do know that if you do that for private, like yeah. a private patio, there you can do that. I've not heard that. I mean, normally we would like cure it. It's like a clear cure, but that's more for strength purposes yeah. and like make sure that it's not losing moisture too fast. It seems like a long stretch to reseal to me. I'm not sure what the cost would be to that maintenance, but I think generally it's assumed it's going to fade. Right? So if it's going to fade over time, I think what we're trying to do with if we're shifting here to sort of the colored concrete thing, the colored concrete will fade over time. And the main thing in talking with a few other people from the city, like the mayor, on the color of that concrete is using something that's like dark, so it's noticeably different from the lighter white pavements from the sidewalk on the street. And then so it's not got any kind of red pigment in it, so it doesn't turn pink color. So it'd be not that like charcoal or blackish color is sort of like the main way to avoid that. Otherwise, a lot of other colors have the potential until the architects in our office that almost any other color potentially go pink. Right? Actually, I mean, Tim might have better views here on that. Just a bit long.
So, and I'm going to give you the reference. So, when you're on the east side of town on Rochester, you know how they expanded all their sidewalks and then they have the retaining wall? That's what's going on. That hitting is ugly. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get it with that. It's so, because it's the big stones that are like stamped, right? Like that rustic stone, that's what's going in all right there.
I think that's a poor concrete wall, isn't it, on Rochester?
I don't know, is it?
But it's probably, it does have like a mold to it.
It's, yeah. It definitely looks molded, like it doesn't.
Yeah. But then it's also painted like a solid color.
It's like a nasty yellow hue.
It's like,
it's like trying to look like limestone, but like, almost looks
but it's one solid color.
So bad.
I don't drive through there a lot. I'm struggling to remember exactly what it looks like, but
maybe just like take a drive out to Regina and look at it. It's really pretty.
Yeah, it's right across.
Yeah.
So the big block wall is that's what you're talking about.
That's
so the Recon and the Ready Rock block walls will be concrete block. They will show up to the job site gray. Right, they look like great concrete blocks. And on this exhibit, the color options that are to the right of those blocks is normally what we specify is that there would be a base color and two highlight colors. And these would be like a water-based stain and they would be stained. We've done that. I haven't looked at it, I guess, in the last year, the retaining wall down off of Bellevue Avenue or the ravine is stained. Those are large blocks like these. And it is stained with this brand guy. So I guess if you wanted to take a peek at how those are lit up, you know where I'm talking, where the chain link fence is between
right
at the outlet for the ravine.
Yeah.
It's on top of that wall. That's the wall edge. Okay. So
and it was those stained colors on them?
I don't remember. I'll have to look up exactly the stained colors we finished on, but it was this brand, I think. And these are just three options. During construction, we'll actually select the final. We'll have them, they would have to do like a mock-up when I do the submittal. So they'll do a block and they'll stain it and then we'll sort of do a final approval of that.
Oh, we'll really make this. We're ready for mock-up. I think the same color.
But yes, there are other colors that are maybe more brown or whatnot, but these are just three example colors. So there would be a blend of three colors that are used up to stain those blocks. So they won't be exactly like the Rochester. It won't be like a painted solid color. And I think that's a port wall. So hopefully it feels more like natural stone because these are going to be actually blocks, pieces, not like a solid.
I think you're right. It was probably not there.
It was the best thing.
Yeah. So is it the cobblestone or is it the rustic?
It would be either option. The DOT requires us to provide multiple options to the contractor. It's likely going to be the recon, because I know that Kings makes a recon block. I just haven't confirmed that they make this one.
So. Is there a huge cost difference between those two?
I mean, we'll bid it and the contractor will submit one of those two. We'll specify it needs to be one of these two finishes. So, I mean, at this point, I'd say no. They're probably the same cost. It just depends on who and where they supply it.
Back to the garden. I don't think it needs to match that. Like, it's separate. They have a bigger retaining wall and then a separate garden. So I think if that's enough area where you just go a little cheaper and get the smaller. And I don't mean like cheap, like the rounded papers that pick up one
time. The thing is, the biggest stage was the first time.
Yeah.
That would be the line. When you have a small block, there's a tendency for
the chef. Yeah.
Or some there's like construction and so they're moving down. That lasts for a little bit. I don't have to be trying to trip for that.
I think they'll have to be installed per manufacturer recommendation. So I'm pretty sure these have to be pinned,
yeah,
like in between the block levels. And then there's likely going to be some sort of requirement for at least some geogram. Why not? Because they'll be short walls, I think 2 feet tall. And they're going to, the garden is going to tier up. There'll be two tiers to the garden. It'll be like a lower level, which is down. The monument sign is planned to be on that lower level. And then the upper level will be stepped up so that the garden can be fairly flat, only have like about 1.5-2% of the slope inside the garden where the plants are, because Cozier Avenue goes uphill, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the garden will go from the intersection all the way up to essentially where the walkway is for the drinking fountain on Cozier. It'll be pretty close to that location. It's where the garden will be. So you'd be going uphill, it'll step up to match the grade. And then it should be pretty leveled off with this large block retaining wall, which will angle back and the two walls sort of.
So do you think it would look better if they're like right together, next to each other, that it should be more?
I
think it should look uniform. It's not going to be the same if you're using two different
Won't be,
but they're going to be right there. And I mean, I don't want to have it look like it looks new.
I think
would almost like have it contrast a little bit if they're going to be so different. Like, I don't know.
I think that there's two ways to think about it. And this is what I mentioned with Troy and Marifron that we've met too, is the straight split or some other block that's noticeably different would be like noticeably different, right? And if you had a block that's closed but it doesn't match, and it kind of looks off because they're closed but they don't match, then maybe that feels worse than just being noticeably different instead of trying to match. And they don't match very well. So
I would agree with that.
Now, I think it would be great if we knew they're going to look great together and bash and blend together, but I guess they can't guarantee that at this point. But these are it sounds like Kings makes this rock like colonial walls top left photo. So that would probably likely be the specific block that would be supplied to show someone, which is, in my opinion, fairly close to like the cobblestone, this rustic stone wall in nature, I guess.
So they don't match, but they go together. Maybe I'm just not sending color. I don't think it has to look exactly right, but I don't think you know what's there and now, yeah. And then from the chain, that looks
good. Yeah, I mean, I guess the other potential option is you could always like bid it with more expensive. I would recommend bidding more expensive one if that was like at all desired. And then if you got samples and you felt like they didn't like the way it looks, then we could ask for a deduct credit on the cost to go with the straight split. You know, that gets applied as long as they have ordered material during the sample process. If we got a sample and we decided we didn't like that, but I think they, I had somebody in the office tracking this down. I think those rock ribs are a custom order, so you can't return them once they're ordered. So they're not like a stock item. So the colonial malls, excuse me.
Okay, so what do you mean for
I don't I guess yeah. I guess the other thing is the lighting. I'll just touch on the, this is the light fixture we're going to recommend. We are recommending for the project. I'll just try and come through. I had a lot of stuff typed up in my written report, and for different reasons why we're recommending this fixture. I think to simply start off with, I think there was some community and council feedback that was positive about this fixture specifically. It is, we know it's going to meet the DOT requirements of the Buy America, Build America Acts. We know it fits sort of the requirements we have based off a lot of feedback we received from the community and how they can set up the diffusers for the light, the color temperature of the light, and its downcast. Some environmental things we looked at were whether we should use a fixture that has an arm or anything that hangs out to the side, mostly due to the proximity of the fixtures to the road around the curb of Melrose and down to the east end in a commercial district. With the redesign, those would have hung out over the gutter line or over the top of the curb. So to avoid a risk of those being hit, damaged, we were recommending a straight pole mount fixture instead of an arm. Let's see.
There's
no lens. That's more of like a maintenance issue as far as football game day traffic, potential damage, right? During tailgating to avoid the lens or any kind of cover. So that the photo there has kind of two different styles of the same light shown, right? One has a lens with a decorative cover over it, and one does not. So really the recommendation is for the one in the forefront to be utilized. That's just the open air style. I think that in a lot of our discussion, there's a lot of back and forth with different community input on sort of how contemporary or how traditional the lights were preferred to be. And in a lot of the lights and options that we looked, I think different ones were too far either way, right? So I think that this fixture in my discussions with the landscape architects, the electrical engineers, and Blake with the design team, you know, I think Blake and I are pretty sure that this is a really good fit for the community and the corridor for blending those two types of styles from the traditional and a very classic looking stink pole, and also being slightly contemporary with a more, is what I call it, slightly more modern twist, right? And clean lines. So that is our recommended light fixture. And the poles would be black, outer coating.
So you said you can change the, like, how daylight versus how light. Is it
I think that the electrical said that they'll go down to 2700.
And how is that adjusted? Like, how do you adjust that?
I don't know the answer for that. I don't know if that's like adjustable after the fact, or if they specify that and they ordered that. Yeah, I think it might be ordered. So. But they just told me that there is the range, right? There's the different options provided. That was a comment that particularly Paul Moore noted for us when we met him, Troy and I, that he really wanted it to be more soft, right? Soft mm-hmm. wood colored, closer to the 2700 Kelvin probably. I think that's generally agreeable for everybody. So that was probably the direction we were planning to go.
Ryan and I discussed, and I believe you noted in the report, if I remember correctly, community input also wanted pretty much wherever you were on the spectrum, they wanted something that was unique to our community. This is, as Ryan explained to me, a relative new style light fixture, and it is not anywhere else around that we are aware of. So it would be unique.
Yeah, those are the only two images you could find after all. This picture, other than like a catalog photo, which doesn't really provide very good context for a visual like this.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a pretty new picture, which is a draw that we were originally looking for to identify as unique to University of Heights. One other thing I'll touch on the light fixtures. Based on some more recent feedback, we're no longer planning on or intending on installing any type of banner arcs or banners on the light poles. We're just trying to do light poles. So at this time, that's the plan. I think that those are able to be added in the future, so it could be a potential adjustment later. So as far as, I think generally, just wanted to have the discussion on these recommendations. If there's any decision to be made, it's potentially whether we should move forward with a more decorative garden retaining wall block, or stick with a simpler straight split block. As far as whether council has a preference there, and then if there's anything else in the recommendations that's really anybody has an objection with, I guess this is what we're going to use to finalize the construction. In the direction of manual.
But you don't know their cost. So
between these, those top walls.
Talk about where you could.
They're one, the cost. Yeah, they're 1.6. I know they're 1.6 times the cost. So what I don't know to the next point is the square footage to be able to calculate that. I know it's like $15 a square foot per design, some to 15 something square foot. So I just don't have a square foot.
That's probably not huge.
It's probably not. It's probably not huge, especially for two foot tall walls, right? It's not like a massive high wall that probably buried at foot and a half. So 3.5 foot tall.
We have the more expensive ones that we have flexibility. Is that what everybody's thinking? Different shaping dense with.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. And is everybody good, covered on that stuff? I'll move on to what you like. On my place here, note board, make sure I stay in order. So 1007, 1009 Melrose, there was a pay application number one that was included in the warrants list. I'll just reiterate the cost of that was $6,694.94. That was all for the tree removals behind the properties. So there's four trees removed in the rear yard. The main work on the driveways hasn't really begun yet. I'm trying to get Mid-American Electric in to install the new utility pole before the driveway work starts getting fogged up and paved. So should be next week they'll start grading for that work. Overhead underground joint trench work started July 6th. You've seen them down probably at the bridge, near the bridge. They worked on utility crossings at Paul Moore's building, the hotel driveway, and between 1009, 1007 Melrose are all done. Those extension fingers from Melrose. Let's start working on the main corridor along Melrose Avenue from Crozier to the bridge. I believe this is their next intended bore shot. We've been coordinating with the utility companies to put together some agreements just to get something that they've signed that says that they will pay the city back for the construction costs associated with that project. I have several resolutions, one for each company of each agreement's essentially based on the same thing. Some of them are tweaked a little bit based off different legal departments' comments, but nothing really major. Differentiating between those. There's two I haven't got final comments from, one, Newman. And then, but any minor changes, I think we'll have Steve review and approve and the mayor review and approve. So all these resolutions for those four, I guess, the telecom companies are for those agreements. Council to consider resolution number 2650, approving and authorizing mayor signed memorandum of agreement with IMOT for the Melrose overhead.
Doug, move. Nick, second. Any discussion? Roll call, vote.
Wire.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Resolution number 2651 is approving and authorizing the mayor to sign a memorandum of agreement with Lumen for Melrose Overhead Underground Utility.
Motion. Lisa, motion, second. Nick. All vote.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Dwyer.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. Resolution number 2652 is approving and authorizing the mayor to sign memorandum of agreement with Medicom for Melrose Overhead.
Oh, we're skipping Lumen for now.
We just did.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that we already did it.
Yeah.
First one a long time.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is 2652, right, Mike?
Yep.
And then this one is for specifically for with Mediacom to reimburse the city for the construction costs on a joint utility trench.
Is there a motion? Make motion to say second. You can second it. Roll call vote.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Dwyer.
Aye.
Herbold.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Then resolution number 2653 is approving and authorizing the mayor to sign a memorandum of agreement with Metronet for the Melrose overhead underground utility plan.
Doug, nope. Doug motion, Lisa second. Roll call vote.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Dwyer.
Aye.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
The next one is with Mid-American Energy, and that one is different. So Mid-American Energy has provided us the agreement. I've had Steve review that. We gave them comments, and this is the updated version. I also talked through a couple of items with them. The difference here is that the city is essentially going to pay Mid-American, right? Like we talked about earlier a little bit, that there's going to be a cost associated with going, with requiring them to go underground instead of being overhead relocated. So within that agreement, in case you didn't make it past 100 pages on our report here, or on the agenda, I guess, project total that breakdown that Mid-American has given us is over, is $518,000. And there is a overhead credit, which would have been the cost that they would have spent to just move overhead to overhead of $190,000. Then there's another joint bore invoice credit, which is something that we discussed, or I reviewed when we started the joint trench project, that the city will just pay for Mid-American's part of the joint trench project. Our as-bid cost for their items was $83,000. You know, that might change. We've had some minor tweaks so far this week. So those costs might be up a little bit, but that credit will be revised based off our actual inherent costs to bring down this total number. What's remaining then is the city to pay. So the city will already pay that $85,000 for the joint trench work. And then there will be a remaining $245,000 left to make up that total cost for Mid-American going underground. So that number will be invoiced after all the work's complete, and after I've verified that with their design engineer, that they don't invoice that in portions. They wait until the tolls are gone. So it's potentially not going to be invoiced until like next March if they don't get all of those down until March. So, but that would be the part that would be coming from Mid-Am as the final invoices for the design, the labor and the equipment to go underground. So there's an agreement in there. It includes some of our plan sheets with their conduit mapping to make it very clear sort of the scopes and everything of that. And resolution, I'm back.
This is 2654.
2654. So resolution 2654 is to approve and authorize the mayor to sign the Melrose Avenue Overhead Underground Agreement with Mid-American Energy.
So motion forward. Lisa and Nancy will second. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Swales.
Aye.
Wire.
Aye.
Herbal.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, the Melrose Avenue panel repair work has started. It's not going as quickly as we would have hoped. We are working through some things with the contractor, but the work is progressing. They have begun excavations for utilities in George Street. They're encountering a lot of existing utilities that are delaying their excavation. I can't take longer having to use a vac truck instead of an excavator. It's taking them longer to do that. They do plan to. We have some water services and some water main work that has to be rerun and abandoned in order to make the adjustments to the sanitary sewer network that City of Iowa City asked us to project. So, and then also some rerouting of our storm sewer network at that corner of George and Tamela. So, that intersection is certainly the part that I expected to be one of the most difficult parts of this project. So they're in the thick of it right now. I also have a change order for that project. Had to do with the sub drain lines. It was just something that was missed in the plan and bid. So this is just to add a line item for removal and installation of new sub drain pipe, engineering fabric course for our round where they had to remove the existing subdrain to install the sanitary manholes. So the total cost of that change order is $500 for the three manhole locations that have been completed on the north side of the road. So I think usually I try to do a simple motion on those, or is that right, on the change order for council approval?
Those are same route. With motion.
Is there any questions or anything?
Yeah. Any discussion? Is there a second? And yes, so this is just all in favor.
Yeah.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Passes.
Then pay application number one for that project was approved in the warrants list. That was $68,775. That included the cost from machine door one as well. So that was for clearing and grubbing, some removal work, and then the three manholes that have been installed to date on the street for the Savannah Bananas game. Sidewalk repair project has started. I've gotten a couple complaints. Chief Eggers probably have a couple of complaints, but not an extensive number yet. So I think the work's going well. It's going pretty efficiently. So they should be wrapping up in the next week or two here. And then pavement marking work has started, or actually is, I think, almost complete. I got an email yesterday, but they've almost completed, except for down at the Hozier intersection where the traffic control is set up right now on the west side of Hozier Melrose. So the pavement marking scope for LL Pelling is essentially complete at this point. We have not received an invoice yet. The Grand Avenue and Sunset Street intersection water main work is my last item I need to talk about. So I had a lot of stuff in the report to break it things down. I don't know if there's generally any questions. I know Troy has touched on it. I guess briefly speaking, I think it's 1504 Grand Avenue is the property that is just west of sort of the dead end North Sunset leg. The frontage of that property, there's a new water main that runs up Sunset across this frontage, and it's the woods the city owns. There's a hydrant. Water main stops at that point, and there's nothing in front of 1504 until you get to the east side of North Sunset. And then that is on the east side, there's a 6 inches from like 1930s and a 2 inch that runs north by the North Sunset. So Iowa City Water Division came to us and said, the water main work we're planning at N31.
I'm going to pull it up
with you, Ryan.
You talking about the picture?
Yeah.
One way.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
with them too. It's like, oh, yeah.
Depends on which version.
Oh, I think.
It's like it wouldn't be that disruptive.
122.
The version plan. 122 or
130. What?
What is there?
Excuse me.
Just there is
nothing like watching the guys fool. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, so so the scope would be, yeah, Iowa City gave me this, the water division gave me this. They have a project that's already been bid. They brought it to our attention because of their water main work that's going to be associated with the Melrose Complete Streets project. There's going to be a shutdown to reroute some water main that is currently coming down the closure lake to intersect the water main is underneath Melrose. Launched to down Melrose that stretch. So it's under the street and it will be rerouted to avoid conflicting with new traffic. It's going to shift the intersection. So a section of the water main will be rebuilt with Melrose Complete Streets. So Iowa City wants to put this section in so they can backfeed the neighborhood during the shutdown. That will shut down Golfview, which is the connection to this entire neighborhood, three more islands. So everyone that's into this flat was fed from Golfview Avenue and would be shut down during that work. So Iowa City wandered with them.
How long would it shut down?
I mean, it depends. It could be, should hopefully it would be a day or two. Usually, I think, is their limit. But yeah, there could be,
how soon?
There could be, there'd be like multiple shutdowns because we would be
really bug, not great. And with the cage and no children and suction and that stuff, everything's bathing and showering.
Yeah, so there,
I will be at the hotel for my children if I don't have water for even a day.
There would be two different shutdowns, probably. Likely that one to install the new line and one to remove like an old tee from the old line, and they'd be separate. So that would be my anticipation. But Iowa City Water Division apparently does a project, I don't know if it's every summer, but they have one this summer, or like that they've bid that they have different areas of town that they are doing water main like removal replacement work, and they've bid out, they do that work in house, the water main. It's they bid out the pavement repair and sod restoration work to a contractor. So I've included their bid tab in my report just so everybody can see what those payment prices were. But certainly I think this scope could be a little bit expanded depending on how the excavations go. It might get into the street. This is probably an idealized limit, but also $25,000 as far as a budget. It also has a buffer built in tonight to try to incorporate a couple extra panels if we need them. But I would, as far as like whether that seems like a reasonable cost, I think it does. I thought the numbers looked pretty good in the bid tab. And I think University Heights will save money and avoiding us doing a design and bidding something separately. So there's all this legwork and administration that we won't have to pay for. And so I think it would be, my recommendation is that we would go ahead and approve that work. They don't need any formal agreement. They just need confirmation from me. So I brought a resolution to City Council. Resolution 2655, give me sort of authorization to approve this work with Iowa City, approving the plans, specifications, and estimate costs for the Grand Avenue and Sunset Street intersection of Larby next year.
And
four, I think Nick motion, Chop with Kenzie, second discussion.
It's also like Detroit point earlier, safety than Brett.
Is this redundant?
It gives that out redundant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I did confirm a question Troy had was a good one. Like, so we don't have very much mapping from Iowa City Water. They keep that pretty close to the vest. And I did ask them to confirm for me and send me some pictures of where the valves are, right? Because I think Troy had asked me, like, well, does this gain us much? They did confirm there's pretty much valves at each end of every street, every block, for the most part. So, you know, they generally they'll be able to isolate like one block stretch, right, from either direction, if there is a main break. So And I think that, that with the age of that water main now, unless knowing what they have on their record, it's a good idea to make sure we have that done in safety.
Discussion. Roll call vote.
We're on our very rare third time rotating through on the call. So Dwyer.
Aye.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Proposing zoning consultation. I don't have
a big link. Oh, yeah, I guess I should probably over here. Nick Herbold, both with Team Melrose. Would you mind bringing up?
I've got it. I've got the resolution right here. So it should be right after.
So Steve set me straight on a couple of my assumptions that were a little off. So I'm looking to, I have a fence to the north of that red already. And so I was looking to add, now that Coffey is not living in the house anymore, I wouldn't have built a fence this tall with Coffey living there. She was a great neighbor. But the house, I believe, is now empty, and it's for sale, as you probably all know. So I was looking to put a fence to get a little privacy for the windows on the side by the red fence. If you go down, you can see the windows that we have on the side of our house and the little patio area. Those are the windows. And then there's a patio you can see down below. And then up above, there you can see the street. There used to be bushes there on Coffey's property that would block our view of the street a little bit. Say that positive way, the bushes were hoping to provide some privacy. So not knowing what a future owner will do, we're just looking to get up a fence. So Steve has let me know that I can already have an 8-foot fence up to the front of my my foundation. So this, what I'm asking for is to be able to continue the 8-foot fence down. Now, I won't go all the way to my front fence that's already there, the black one, because there are some trees in that little corner, so it was set short. Some of the reasons are to get just privacy from the street, from their deck that is up higher than ground level. But also, it's their backyard. So whoever buys that house, it will be their backyard. And I could step the fence down, but I think that might look kind of strange for them as their backyard. It would be fine probably for me as my side yard. But again, I would like it to be taller for the privacy. But yeah, I don't know if anybody has any questions about it.
So the red line extends further than it would actually extend.
I think a touch, I would ask for approval to get up flush with the other fence, but there's a pine tree like in that corner that will eventually probably expand a little bit. So we were going to stop it short a little bit. To just avoid that a little bit. When you build a fence and this sort of property, a little bit of it's the roots where you run into roots. So we would try not to kill any of the trees by just avoiding. If we run into a big root, we might have to change where a post goes.
It's still for sale. I've heard a rumor.
As far as I know.
Okay. I'm curious because I'm looking up right now too.
There's no offer pending or anything signed in the.
I think I just sent Lisa this picture,
but there's. It would be the same as the fence on the other side of our property that borders Morgan. That one's not as tall, but we don't have like windows and street issues right there, so that's why that one's sure.
I'm all for it. You guys strike you into your house without the bushes.
Barely. This won't completely solve that, but I think trees over time and stuff, the front will help a little bit.
So considering resolution 2656 authorizing the fence exceeding 4 foot in height at 1250 Melrose Avenue. And Lisa's motion to pass with no Jones is seconded. It's a matter of discussion. All vote.
And this is entirely by the random order of the night. Herbal.
Abstain.
Okay.
Oh, no, you
back to here.
I come back.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Dwyer.
Aye.
Motion carries 4-0. Herbal abstention.
Okay, so let's see.
It was great.
So we have the written report and website books and all as always. Any announcements? Okay, well then we'll call this meeting adjourned.
Nice job, John.
Oh, well, thanks.
Why
is this
representative?
Well, it's a situation.
Right.